Okay. I'm going to finish off the perek today. The Mishnah says, till now we've been dealing with a stay achuza. Stay achuza is something you own permanently. It's something you get by Yerusha. And over there we had all the halachas of pidyon, how you redeem it, what the shear of redemption is. And that it's yoytze biyoyvel, it's yoytze lekoyanim if you don't redeem it back. Now we're dealing with a stay mikna. Stay mikna, generally, you can only own until yovel. It's a field that you buy. At maximum, you only own the field until yovel. After yovel, the field leaves. So, l'chayrit is that the Mishnah seems to be just coming from that angle. The Mishnah seems to only be dealing with the fact that you don't own the field forever. You only own the field until yovel. And since you only own the field until yovel, so obviously you can't be makdish it beyond that. If I only own the field until Yovel, it's like enadam makdish dover sheinu shaloi. I can't give over to Hekdish something that I myself don't own. That seems to be the way the Mishnah learns. So the Mishnah says, Halukeach sode meyoviv, umesoviv. Somebody went ahead and they bought a field from their father. So in this case, this is a field that is a potential stay achuza and a current stay mikna. Correct? So right now I own it as a stay mikneh, but with time it will turn into a stay achuza. As time goes on, it's gonna yalshin it. And then Mesoviv, his father died. So l'chayre, the first din of the Mishnah is pshita. The Mishnah says harehu k'stay achuza. Obviously, by the time I was makdashit, so Reuven went ahead and he bought a field from his father Yankif, and then Yankif died. When Yankiv died, now the field went from being a stay mikna to being a stay achuza. Now it's his field. Now he went and he was makdish the field. So at this point that he's makdish the field, now the field is a regular stay achuza. So that's what the Mishnah paskens. That's the l'chayr pshita. This din of the Mishnah, if it didn't say it, you l'chayr you'd be mechavan on your own, that would be the halach. So that's divrei Rab Meir. If it's a kedisha v'achkach meisaviv, and this is a big chiddush. This is telling us that if he was makdish the field, and then his father died. So again, Reuven bought the field from his father Yankiv, and then he was makdish the field, and then his father Yaakov died. So now, when he's coming to redeem it back from hekdish, he's really redeeming a field back that now is a stay achuza. Right now, it's a stay achuza. So here Rab Meir says a chiddush, harei kistei mikne. So when you redeem it back, you redeem it back based on the rules of stei mikne. The price, everything is like a stei mikne, not a stei achuza. Okay, so assuming like we had earlier, the machloikis, that a stei mikne, when you redeem back, you don't redeem back according to some, based on the cheshbon of zerach chayim esayim b'chamishim shekel. So you don't. So this will go back to the regular fee. That's a big chiddush. Because l'chayra, right now, when I'm redeeming it back, it's a stay achuzah. Reuven now, this is a stay achuzah. That's a tremendous chiddush. So the Mishnah is telling us two dinim. One din is not a chiddush at all. The other din is a tremendous chiddush. The first din is not a chiddush. The father died, and now he goes ahead and he's makdashit. That's pashit. It's a regular stay achuzah. Why wouldn't it be? It's a stay achuza, plus he bought it before. He got his foot in the door before he arshed it. That clearly wouldn't diminish his rights of stay achuza. That's the first tanya. Rav Yudim Rav Shimon Haimrim, harei ki stay achuza. They argue. And they hold that this is a stay achuza. Now, logically, we hear that. Makes sense. Because Lamaisa, after he was makdashit, it turned into a stay achuza. His father died. So he was makdashit in Tovshin Ayin, and in Tovshin Ayin Aleph, his father died, and now he's redeeming it back in Tovshin Ayin Beis. So by the time he's redeeming it back in Tovshin Ayin Beis, it's not a stay mikne anymore. Now it's a stay achuza. So it makes sense that when he redeems it back like a stay achuza. But they bring a pasuk. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, "Im stay miknosei ashaloi mistay achuzas." Sode she'ena ruya liyay stay achuza. They say, here, when you redeem it back, you redeem it back like a stay achuza because there's a pasuk. L'chor, what do you need a pasuk for? Obviously, the reason why they hold you need a pasuk is because since when I was makdashit, I was makdashit as a stay mikneh, so maybe I have a chiv to redeem it back based on the calculation of the hakdosha when I gave it to Hekdash. Okay? So that's why the pasuk comes to tell me otherwise. It says, the sodashi huyuli is stay achuza. And therefore, sada yotzuzushi huyul zechuz. Now, stay mikna, eine yotze lakoyhanim biyovel. This is again simple. A stay mikna doesn't go out to the koyhanim biyovel. That's the chayr pashut. Can't go out to the koyhanim biyovel. Can't go out to the koyhanim biyovel because the guy who gave it to Hekdish doesn't own it. He only owns it until yovel. Also pshita. So the Mishnah now comes and gives a reason. Sheheino da makdish dover sheheino shaloi. Person can be makdish something that's not his. Hakahanim, alavim, makdishin loylam, v'koyelin loylam, bein lifnei ha-yevul, bein la'achayevul. Kahanim don't have all these rules. They always redeem back. If a kohen has a field that he yashin from his father, through he could have gotten it from the field that from a stay hektish. So the halach is he can always redeem it back. He never loses it. Even if it's by hektish over yevul, stays by him forever. Okay. Now, the problem we have on this Mishnah is two things. First of all, we lack an understanding on the first din of the Mishnah. That's Poshet. The first din of the Mishnah seems to be saying Olive Beis. Olive Beis. Person bought a field from his father. His father died. Now he yarshened the field. Now if he's makdish that field that he both owned and yarshened, it goes out like a steyachuz. Of course, why not? His ownership of it before he yarshened it doesn't make him in a worse position than a regular Yerusha. That was our first question. And that, at worst, we would have said it's lav dafka. Maybe that chiddush is not even needed. But we'll see in the Gemara that the chiddush is needed. It's actually a pasuk that teaches that chiddush. L'chor, you don't need a pasuk. That's number one. And the final statement of the Mishnah before it says akahanim, it says that the reason why when you makdish a field that's not your, that's a stay mikne, it doesn't go by yovel to the kohanim, because eino the makdish dover sheino shaloi is l'chayra plia. It's a plia. What do you have to come on to that? The Torah says beferish v'im stay miknasa asheloi m'stay achuzah so yakdish ish v'hoya asoda b'tzei se miyovel ish ashekonomi. The pasuk says black and white and parashas b'chukosai. That when you, if you go ahead and you makdish a field that you don't own, that was, that you don't own permanently, you only own it till Yovel. So when the field will go out by Yovel, it will go out to the one who originally owned the field. It's the pasuk. Why does the Gemara, why does the Mishnah now have to be an Oibah Chacham and give us reasons? The Mishnah comes and says, you know why? Ain't other makdish dover she'en ishalot. We have to come on to that. Mech teisa. So this Kasha Taka, the Nalab Yehuda, in his Sefer on Erechim, he asked this question. He says, I don't understand the Mishnah. Mishnah says, he says, V'tomati hafli b'fela. He says, it's a pella to me. The lomale atam. Why does the Mishnah have to start giving reasons? Mishum de'eno the magdish dover she'ne shaloi. Typically, the mefush pikro. Says it black and white in the pasuk. The mestei miknose, ha'shaloi mizdei achuzo, ha'yakdish l'ashem. Yoshua Sod Elasha Konomeito, Elasha Leachuz and Sorens. Black and white. The Mishnah is giving us reasons that are totally unnecessary. And not only are the reasons unnecessary, but the reasons actually are confusing. Because the reasons that the Mishnah is giving us are debatable. Because we find a concept, Hektish Mafkir Midei Shibut. We find a concept that if I have a field, let's say that's Meshibut, somebody else has a lien on the field. Right? So if I go and I sell that field, the mechira doesn't work. If I sell the field, it doesn't work. The person who has a lien on it can take it back. Why? Because I don't own the field completely. Somebody, it's meshubah to somebody else. Yet, if you're makdish the field, the halacha is that hektish overrides the shibut. That means hektish takes it even though there was a lien holder. Hektish throws out the lien holder. So at times, in Choshen Mishpat, Hekdish has a superiority. They can override a previous lien. So that being the case, it would be debatable from a logic standpoint that even if you own a field only until Yovel, right? Even if I have ownership only until Yovel, but then I go and I makdish it, maybe Hekdish now overrides it, possibly. The fact is that that's not the case because the Pasuk says black and white that it doesn't. But why does the Mishnah have to start? Number one, the Mishnah leaves out the Pasuk. The Mishnah gives me a reason. Number two, the reason that the Mishnah gives us is not even really a wholesome reason. It's a shvacha reason. Because it can be, one could debate it and say, you know what? It's not true. It's true that you only own it until Yovel. But until Yovel, you own it. And you will makdish it. So now Hekdish takes over. And the one who sold it to you is Gehakta Tzaras. Hekdish took it over. Part of the things he got to contemplate when he sells a field is, you know, somebody may be makdish this field. So just, what do you do when you lend somebody money and you take a lien on this property? He may be makdish the field. That's part of the risk. It's a risk factor. I lend you money. The field is in my domain, right? I have a lien on it. But I stand as a risk. Maybe you'll be makdish it. And if you hold hekdish is mafkia midei shibut, I'm in gehakta tzaras. That's part of the gamble that I take when I lend you money, even with a lien. So you could say the same thing. I sell a property. I'm taking a chance. Maybe the guy will be makdish it and hekdish will take it over. And if you're worried about that, don't sell it. But the Mishnah uses that as the reason. Now, Tosfos seems to make away with the Mishnah's reason. Tosfos seems to agree with what I'm telling you now. Because if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, Sodeh mikneh inu yotzel ha-kahanim b'yovel. The second to the last Tosfos on the daf. He says, Sodeh mikneh inu yotzel ha-kahanim b'yovel. Says the Tosfos, She'ein odom makdish dovol she'einu shaloi. You can't be makdish something you don't own. Lefum riato, says Tosfos, mashma. Im goal ho'acha me'agizbo lifnei ha'yovel. Tosfos says, I hold that this is only if somebody else redeemed the field from Hekdesh. Fascinating Tosfos. He says, V'rashi pirish b'chumash afil loy goal ho'acha adayin hi'biyadgizbo teitzei b'china b'yovel abaylam u'yishenim ha'shaloi achuz ha'zoraz. Tosfos, I disagree. I happen to hold, Tosfos says, that if Reuven sells a field to Shimon, right? And Shimon goes now. Shimon only owns the field until Yovel. Doesn't own the field past Yovel. And Shimon goes and he's makdish the field. Okay? So Tosfos holds that at that point, if nobody went to Hekdesh and redeemed the field back, it doesn't go back to the owner. Fascinating Tosfos. That's Tosfos Shita. Tosfos seems to hold that Rashi holds it doesn't matter. If I own the field for Til Yovel, I bought a field, and I only own the field Til Yovel, and now I give it over to Hekdesh, there's no way in the world that field is going to stay by Hekdesh beyond Yovel. There's no way. That's how Rashi holds. And Rashi's logic is a sound logic. You only own it until Yovel, you can't be Makdesh or past Yovel. But I'm telling you that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos by us says that I only hold that it goes back to the original owner if somebody redeemed it. That means Reuven sold the field to Shimon. Shimon was makdish it. And Levi redeemed it. So then, when Yovel comes and it leaves Levi, right? So it goes back to Reuven. That's Tosfos. But Tosfos holds that if Shimon was makdish the field and Shimon didn't redeem it, Reuven didn't redeem it, Levi didn't redeem it, it stood in Hekdesh's domain until Yovel. Tosfos also doesn't go back to the owner. Right? So again, how that works, I could tell you is exactly like the way I just explained it. Hekdesh overrides a lien. Hekdesh takes over. I could explain it. I don't have a problem explaining it. My problem is that what the Mishnah says is not the right reason. The reason is because there's a pasuk. And in fact, when that pasuk doesn't qualify, and that's what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying, the Torah is talking about a case where another person redeemed it, Then when it leaves that person, it goes to the original owner. The Pasuk is not talking about a case where nobody redeemed it. That's what Tosfos says, right? What Tosfos is basically telling us is there is no inherent logic. Because if there would be an inherent logic, it would make a difference if anybody redeemed it or not. If Reuven sold the field to Shimon, there is no way that Hekdish will ever hold on to that field past Yovel. Hekdish, the Kohanim, nobody. Nobody could hold on to that field after Yovel. Because, after all, Shimon only owned it until Yovel. Which is the way our Mishnah reads. So we're really left with a major issues here. Number one, we're left with the one major issue, why the Mishnah ignores the Pasuk. The Mishnah should just say, there's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says that it goes back to the original owner. That's number one. Number two, what I'm telling you is that the logic that the Mishnah gives is not even a wholesome logic. And not only is it a wholesome logic conceptually, it's not even a wholesome logic practically. Because Tosfos is telling us that there's a big hole here. Tosfos is saying, in fact, if you go ahead, you, the buyer of the field, who only own it till Yovel, and you give it to Hekdesh, and it stays by Hekdesh, and nobody redeems it from Hekdesh, it's going to stay there. Okay? It's not going to go back to the owner. Ah, you ain't the Makdesh Dover Sheinu Shaloi. You follow? So the whole thing is one big Medrash Pliya. It's a Pliya. And the interesting thing is that the Mefarshim are pretty quiet over here. It seems to be one big Medrash Pliya. Comes the Gemara, Tona Rabbonin, and now the Gemara works out the Pesukim, which will further complicate this picture. Minayin lekeach sodeh me'oviv v'igdisho. How do you know if a person buys a field from his father and he's makdish it? V'achakach me'soviv. And then his father died. And now the field became his stei achuza. Minayin shetei lefonov ki stei achuza. Tamaloimar, it says in the Pasuk, stei miknosa, ashaloim stei achuzosa. It says, a field which is not a stei achuza. It's like redundant, because it already said, stei miknosa. So what's it coming to tell you? Sode, sheinu hu yoli stei achuza. A field that cannot be a stei achuza. Yotzazu shehu yoli stei achuza. It could be a stei achuza. It could be inherited. Diri ab yud of Rav Shimon. Okay. So here we said, we know what, we understand why you need a Pasuk. Because the time when you were makdish the field, it was only a stay mikneh. So maybe when you redeem it back, you have to give Hekdish the better price. Because when I was makdish it, it was on that scale, let us say. So far, at least we could make sense out of it. But here's where we get it completely confused. Reb Meir Emel, no, he disagrees. He says, Minayin the loikeach sodom eoviv umeisoviv. How do we know that if a person buys a field from his father, so again, Levi buys a field from Yaakov, in Tovshin Ayin. In Tovshin Ayin Aleph, his father dies, Umeisoviv. So Tovshin Ayin, he buys a field from his father, he's going to own that field until Yovel of Tovshin Ayin Tes. Yovel is coming on Tovshin Ayin Tes. He bought the field in Tovshin Ayin. So for the next 9 years, it's a stay mikneh. Okay? Tovshin Ayin Aleph comes, his father dies. So now it goes from being a stay mikneh to being a stay achuzah. Tov shinayin beis, he's makdish the field. Okay, so now it's a stay, a regular sedei achuzah that he's makdish. Says Reb Meir, v'achakach ikdisha minayin, how do I know? Shetei lefonov kistei achuzah. What do you mean, how do I know? Because it is. What do you mean, how do I know it's a stay achuzah? Because his father died and he yalshed it. The whole thing is a pella. Says the Gemara, Talmud Loima, Mistei Miknosei Asheloi Stei Achuzasei. Yotzazu, it's coming to exclude this, Shehi Stei Achuzah. It's interesting, the Lashon of the Gemara. Shehi Stei Achuzah. It is. What do you mean? It is a Stei Achuzah. He bought the field in Tovshin Ayin. Father died in Tovshin Ayin Aleph. Now he yarshin the field, according to Chosh Mishpat. He yarshin the field. The field is his field. And now, he was makdishin in Tovshin Ayin Beis. Why in the world would it not be a regular inherited field? He inherited it already. He inherited it a year before. What do I need a pasuk for? So the Gemara now tries to... The Gemara obviously is bothered by this. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, we understand. They say you don't need a pasuk for that. That's logical. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that if a guy inherits a field that it's inherited, he inherited it. It's basically the Torah is telling you, no, you inherited it. The field that you inherited, you inherited it. You inherited it. I don't need a Torah to tell me the facts. Right? Factual information. Go check the title. You'll see the title is registered now as a steachuz. I don't need a Torah to tell me that. It's a fact. Right? So that's why Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon say that the pasuk is not talking about that case. Because for that, I don't need a pasuk. The Torah is talking about a case where a guy bought the field from his father. In Tov Shanayim. And Tov Shanayim Aleph, he was Makdish the field. So now he was Makdish the field to Hekdish based on a buyback of the Stei Mikna. Okay, that was one type of buyout. And then his father died. So now there was a status change from when he was Makdish it to when he redeemed it back. So which status do we go by? Do we go by the status of when you were Makdish it, which has one buyback plan? Or do we go by the status of the current status, which is another buyback plan? This I understand. For this, you need a pasuk. Comes the pasuk and says, no, even over here, you don't pay based on the original buyback. You pay based on the current buyback. That we understand. But Reb Meir is saying, the pasuk's not talking about that case. That case, taka is a stay mikna. The Torah is talking about a case where father died in Tufshin Ayin, or Tufshin Ayin Aleph. And he was makdashin in Tov Shanayim Beis. And our question is, you don't need a pasuk for that. So the Gemara is going to try to make it logical. The Gemara says, yeah, there's logic here. What's the logic? Lema boka miflugi. And obviously the main mandaoma here that needs a beer is Reb Meir. Reb Meir, who's using the pasuk for what seems to be simple, he's the one that needs a pasuk. Says the Gemara, Reb Meir soval kinyan peirois ke kinyan aguf. There's a rule in Shas that when you buy something for any period of time other than forever, it's called a kinyan peres. It's called you only own the fruit. Kinyan peres is a way of describing a ownership that has a time limit. Any time limit, it's called a kinyan peres. So I own something with a time limitation. So because I own it with a time limitation, it's machlekes. Do we look at a time limited ownership as ownership? As inherent ownership or not. Reb Meir holds kinyan peiros kinyan aguf dami. He holds that if you own something temporarily, it's called, during the time that you own it, it's called permanent ownership. And Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon holds kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf dami. What does the Gemara mean by saying this? What the Gemara means is like this. Let's go back to the case. Reuven bought the field from his father Yaakov Avinu when in Tov Shanayim. Okay, Yovel is in Tov Shanayim Tes. So now he owns the field from now until Tov Shanayim Tes. Right? He owns it as a kinyan peres, whatever that ownership is. We have to classify that ownership. But he owns a kinyan peres now until Tov Shanayim Tes. Tov Shanayim Aleph, Yaakov dies. So now, potentially, he goes from owning it as a kinyan peres to owning it as a kinyan aguf. Right? Now he owns it permanently. Right. So, if you hold, what the Gemara seems to be saying is like this. If you hold that temporary ownership is called ownership, so then, from now until Tov Shanayim Tes, until Yovel comes, he already owns it. Completely. There's nothing for him to inherit. He's not even inheriting anything. He owns it already. He owns it already. It's like if I pick something up and I make a kinyan on it. I buy the cup of tea and I make a hagbah. And then I go again and I pick up the cup of tea. Even if I do a great kinyan the second time, it doesn't do anything. I own the cup of tea. If I go to my property now and I make a kinyan chazoka, right? On my house on 82 Forche Road. That's not a kinyan chazoka because I already own it. So now it's not a new kinyan. It's redundant. The kinyan is redundant. Well, here you say, well, it's not redundant, because here I only own it temporarily. But if we view temporary ownership as during the time that it's temporarily owned, as wholesome, complete ownership, so now, from now until Tov Shanayim Tes, Reuven owns it to the max. He can't own it anymore. So during those 9 years, his increased potential doesn't actualize anything. Because in actuality, he owns it completely. He already made a kinyan yesterday, which gives him complete ownership for the next 9 years. And that ownership is not viewed during those 9 years as temporary, because that's what the definition of kinyan peres is, like kinyan aguf, means that during those 9 years, we don't treat it like it's temporary. We treat it as though it's everlasting. That means we don't look at it during those 9 years like he owns it temporarily. We look at it like he, meaning if you have one guy owns a field forever, and the guy next door owns the field for 10 years. So if your whole temporary ownership is called ownership, these two people own the house today exactly the same. There is no difference between the ownership of Reuven and the ownership of Shimon. They both own it completely. Bikurim, Trumas Maisus, they own it completely. Okay, so if that's, the Gemara is saying, if that's the case, that's a huge pill to swallow. It's a huge pill to swallow. But if you're ready to swallow that pill, this Kinyan Peres, Kinyan Aguf pill, you're ready to swallow it, and however you're going to swallow it, if it comes down, and you go, okay, so then we understand. So a mayor comes and he says, now I understand. You got the field from your father in Tov Shanayin. Reuven got the field in Tov Shanayin. In Tov Shanayin, he owns it for the next 9 years, irrevocable, complete ownership. And that ownership can't be increased because it's maxed out. If you look at the meter, it's... the ownership meter is at the end. You could put in more current. You could plug in another 25 batteries. The meter is not going to go any further. The meter is at maximum ownership. So now the father died, so there's a big, huge power burst going into the machine, but the meter is still there. When the meter is about to go down in Yovel, then we'll see movement. Then it's going to go... okay? And then it'll stay there forever. But right now the meter maxed. And nothing could be manipulated now to say you're more of an owner, you're less of an owner. What I'm telling you now, the Gemara here doesn't explain, but the Gemara in Gittin that says the same thing as our sugya does explain it. And the Gemara uses the Lashon, lo yoris midi. You're not yashining anything. So the Reb Meir holds, since he holds that Kinyan Peres is like a Kinyan Aguf, you don't yashin anything. Nothing happened. Right? What? Well, again, if the Yovel will come, it's no worse than a field that fell to you in Yerusha then. So it falls then to Yerusha. The point is, when the father died in Tov Shanayin Aleph, now he has another reason why he should have complete ownership. But that reason doesn't do anything. It doesn't actualize. And since it doesn't actualize, you're still holding on to the field as a stay mikneh. You're still holding on to this field as a stay mikneh. And therefore, when the guy goes and he's makdashit, logic would say, you know what? This is like a guy's makdashit stay mikneh. Comes the Torah says no. That's how a mayor explains it. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon say, what are you talking about? Kinyan Peres is not Kinyan Aguf. And therefore the ownership that he has from now until Tov Shanayin Tes is not wholesome ownership. The meter is right in the middle. The ownership meter is right in the middle, and it's sending us a signal that you don't really own it. And now all of a sudden he got the Yerusha, it went all the way up. And now he was makdashit. So now Vada the Hekdash is a stay achuzah. So therefore Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon hold, you don't need a pasuk to tell me this. It's simple. And that's why they shift the pasuk over to the logical case where you were makdashit while it was a stay mikneh, and then it turned into, after you gave it to Hekdash, it turned into stay achuzah. Now when you redeem it back based on that qualification. Now, the bottom line is this is very complex. In fact, Rav Eliashiv, Rav Eliashiv in his Ha'oros here in Erechim, he points out that there are many differences in halacha. Even if you hold Kinyan Peres is like a Kinyan Aguf, there are still many differences. He says as follows. Remeir Sova Kinyan Peres Kikinyan Aguf. Mivur, says Rav Eliashiv. The Laman Domer, according to the opinion who holds, Lav Kikinyan Aguf Domi, Loi Ni Toysif Loi Kinyan Besod Al Yidei Yerusha. The Yerusha does nothing. And Rav Eliashiv is saying here is precisely what the Gemara says in Gittin. Lo Yoris Veloi Midi. It's nothing. Nothing happened. Ube'emes Nira Poshet, says Rav Eliashiv. The Af, even if you hold Kinyan Aguf Domi, Moidish Emayilo Yerusha, Legabi Hal Beidinim. He says, number one, the very least, if a guy buys a field from his father in Tovshin Ayin, and Yovel is in Tovshin Ayin Tes, and he goes and he sells it to Tovshin Sadi, that wouldn't work. The day before his father died, in Tovshin Ayin Aleph, if Reuven would sell the field to Tovshin Sadi, it wouldn't work, because he only owns it till Tovshin Ayin Tes. Right? So if he would get up in the year 2000, and he would sell, and he only owns the field to 2009, and he goes and he sells the field to 2020, it wouldn't work. Even if he holds its Kinyan Aguf. Right? So in 2000, when he bought the field from his father, you could tell me as much Torah as you want, that from 2000 to 2009, he owns it completely, wholesome, irrevocable, whatever language, legal language you want to use. If he tried to sell it now in 2000 to 2020, it wouldn't work. Yet when his father died in 2001, if he sells it to 2020, it does work. Right? No. No. Now that he yashined it, every person that owns a field completely has a right, this is something the Velt doesn't know, has a right to sell his field past Yovel. As long as it's not litzmisus. That means, if you sell your field forever, it's going to go back by Yovel. Right? If somebody takes a stay achuz and they sell it for 60 years, it works. You can sell your field for 60 years. Even when Yovel was noyeg. Even when Yovel was noyeg, you could sell your field for 60 years. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch has a shaila. If Reuven went and he bought a field from Shimon for 60 years, and then he was makdish at the hekdish, what happens by Yovel? Does it go to the Kohanim until the end of the 60 years? You follow? Because since he owns it past Yovel, so it's going to stay by Hekdesh. So maybe it should go to the Kohanim for the next 10, 20 years, whatever there is, until the end of his Mechirah. So you could sell something. That's Rav Eliashiv's point. The day before Reuven's father, Yaakov, died, he could only sell his field to 2009. But now that his father died, he could sell it as long as he wants. If he sells it forever, it'll go out by Yovel. But he's not limited. So he obviously owns it more. Besides for that, how could we logically accept that a person who has a Kinyan Peres, even if we say Kinyan Peres is like a Kinyan Aguf, how could we say that the Kinyan Aguf is nothing? Kinyan Aguf is definitely something too. The chiddush of Kinyan Peres ke Kinyan Aguf is that we view the temporary ownership like ownership. We're definitely not saying permanent ownership is not ownership. Permanent ownership is also ownership. L'chayra, at the very best, we take Kinyan Peres and we take Kinyan Aguf, we'll say they're partners. Okay? How can we say they're less than partners? Right? In other words, let's say me and another person own a field b'shutfus. We both have a Kinyan Aguf. Forever. We're shutfim. Right? If one person has a Kinyan Peres and the other one has a Kinyan Aguf, if you hold Kinyan Peres is not Kinyan Aguf, that means that you're not shutfim. The Kinyan Aguf is the one who owns it, and you have this schiris. You don't own it. If you hold Kinyan Peres as Kinyan Aguf, at most it should make you like a partner. How could the guy who has the limited ownership be a complete owner? You could tell me the limited ownership is also ownership. How could it be complete? There's still the other piece. There's the other piece. And it's l'chayr, it's a plea. So that's really a major problem in this whole sugya. Now the Rambam comes And one thing is clear, because Omar Avnach, let's just finish the Gemara. Omar Avnach by Yitzchok, Baal no, he says, really, what you're saying is not correct. He says, it could be that Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda hold that Kenyan Peres is Kenyan Aguf. And even though if you hold Kenyan Peres is Kenyan Aguf, we just said, then logic would dictate that it stays a stay mikna even after Yaakov died. It stays a stay mikna. Ba'amol Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda Kenyan Peres is Kenyan Aguf done it. V'hocha kro ashkach v'darshi. Here they found a pasuk. Lichtei v'achmona misdei mignosa ashalo isdei achuzosa. Inami ashalo misdei achuzosa. My misdei achuzosa. Soda shene ruyul isdei achuzi yatsuzu shaguyul isdei achuzi. They hold that this pasuk includes also the case where the person was makdashit while in other words, while the father was alive. They hold the pasuk includes both. The Meir holds the pasuk is only one ribui, and they hold this two ribuyim. But the bottom line is, what's clear from the Gemara is that if you hold that Kenyan Peres is not Kenyan Aguf, then you don't need a pasuk. That's clear, right? That we have clear from our Gemara. If you hold Kenyan Peres is Kenyan Aguf, then perhaps you need a pasuk. But if you hold that Kenyan Peres is not a Kenyan Aguf, which means the guy, Reuven, who bought the field from his father Yaakov, doesn't own it, and then his father dies, and then he's makdish it, then everybody agrees you don't need a pasuk for that, if you hold Kenyan Peres lav ke Kenyan Aguf, because it's now a stay achuzah. That's clear from our Gemara without any, there's no wiggle room. There's no way out of that. And the problem we have is that the Rambam himself here, when he brings down the halacha, he says that you need a pasuk for both cases, both scenarios. Azayzok the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. He brings down the din of our Mishnah. He brings down both dinim. And then the Rambam says, "Tichsiv the im mistei miknosei ashaloi mistei achuzosei." So the Rambam uses this pasuk on both dinim. When in fact, our Gemara seems to say you only need the pasuk if you hold Kenyan Peres is Kenyan Aguf. And the Rambam paskins Kenyan Peres lav Kenyan Aguf tami. The Rambam paskins that temporary ownership is not called ownership. So the Rambam is completely difficult. Because if you hold temporary ownership is not ownership, then we say that it's simple that if the guy yarsh in the field that it becomes a stei achuzah. And the Rambam includes that in our situation. So this is a question that many, many of the Achronim ask on the Rambam. The divrei Rambam lo malikro. You're on your pasuk. Anyway, so I would suggest to understand pshat here in the sugya as follows, and this would give us, I think, clarity in the whole thing, from the beginning until the end, as far as what the Mishnah is telling us, as far as the end of the makdish, the whole thing from beginning to end. The minchas chinuch here, we put that here in the Maror Mekoymis. Just underline the top, it's really the bottom. If you look at the one that's underlined there in Mitzvah Shinun Hei Tes, the bottom part of it, I'll read it to you. He says as follows. He says, the case that I gave you, what happens if you bought the field for more than Yovel, beyond Yovel? You bought the field for 60 years. So he says, Im Kein Derech Moshel, a guy sold his friend a field before Yovel, 10 years before Yovel. L'shishim shan. He sold it to him for 60 years. You could do that. So 10 years before Yovel, he sold his friend the field for 60 years. So now it's going to go through to another Yovel. There ain't a Yotze b'Yovel. Im Kain, kishiyagia Yovel, Adayin Yishor B'yad Alekech Oid Chamishim Shona. Right? Yovel comes, in other words, Reuven sold the field to Shimon. Astei Achuzu. He sells it to Shimon for 60 years. When Yovel comes and goes, it doesn't affect anything. Now, Shimon goes, V'igdisha. K'shimagia Yovel Einu Chazeres L'Baila. It doesn't go back to the owner. Why should it? He sold the field for 60 years. Right? Efshe koloisa mashonim yetzi l'koyanim. Maybe during those years, should go to the koyanim. Ad melois hazman. Then he'll go back to the moich. Ze einoi. Says the Minchas Chinuch, this is not the case. Why? The gezeres hakosavu de'ein stay mikne shayach l'koyanim. It's not shayach to the koyanim. The way we said originally. It's all psukim. It's psukim. He says, "V'hamishnah nokat atam al pi aroif." Says the Minchas Chinuch, even though the Mishnah gave us a reason, "Einu demakdish dover shein eshaloi," that's not really the reason. That's usually the reason. Avu be'emes afilu einu chayzeres piyayv alabaylim bikomokom elokanim schus. So the Minchas Chinuch just made the problem that we presented 20 times worse. The Mishnah gave us a reason, which is not even accurate in halacha, because we have a case where the reason of the Mishnah doesn't apply at all. Reuven bought a field from Shimon for 60 years. In that case, it doesn't go out by Yovel. Reuven goes and he gives it to Hekdesh. Yovel comes. Now, if the only reason why it doesn't go to the Kohanim is because when Yovel comes, it goes back to the original owner, that's not even the case here. In this case, Hekdesh will keep it. So it should go to the Kohanim for the next 30 years. Says the Minchas Chinuch, no, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says that only a stei achuzah goes to the kohanim. So it comes out that the reason that the Mishnah gives is not even accurate. Walach, it's not accurate. He says it's usually accurate. So it comes out the Mishnah gave us the wrong reason. That's not even 100% accurate. So confusing that the Mishnah should do such a thing. I think that the explanation here, Rabbi says, is very simple. There are really two issues at hand. One is a stei achuzah issue. Stei achuzah, by definition, means any field that was giyarshent in Eretz Yisrael from father to son is a stei achuzah. And that stei achuzah, when Yovel comes, unless the owner of the field was makdish it, that's going to go back to the owner, no matter what. That's going to go back to the owner. The rule is that a stei achuzah, nobody else can go buy that stei achuzah from you and change your inherent rights of it being your stei achuzah. So that will never change. It's always going to be by you, and that's a pasuk. That's a pasuk. And that's irrefutable, irrevocable. That's not a question. Now, the question is as follows. The question is, what happens in a case where Reuven had a stei achuzah and he sold it to Shimon, and Shimon now goes and he's makdish it? Okay. So now, we know that because it's not a stei, it's only a stei mikneh by him, it's always going to go back to the original guy. Right? It's always going to go back to the original guy. But if the only reason why it goes back to the original guy is just the pasuk alone, right? So then we could say like this. Then we really have Tosfos Svara, which is maybe the pasuk is only talking about a case where somebody else redeemed it. Then when it leaves that person, it goes back to the original owner. But if nobody redeemed it, like Tosfos says, then it wouldn't go to the Kohen. But the truth is that that's not the case. The case is that no matter what, the field will never go to the Kohanim. And the reason why the field will never go to the Kohanim is not just because of the pasuk. The field will never go to the Kohanim because Einu demakdish dover shein eshaloi. That's why the field won't go to the Kohanim. The field won't go to the Kohanim because inherently, when you the person who bought the field, gave the field over to Hekdesh, you didn't have the ability to give it to them in a way that it would impact the Bialim long term. So even with a pasuk wouldn't be applicable, the svara will still be applicable. No matter what, that svara is going to be applicable. One second. The svara is going to be applicable. Right. However, the svara only says that you, the person who was makdish it, couldn't irrevocably take away the owner's rights. That's the svara. And that svara goes even where the pasuk doesn't go. That's a svara that always will be there. That you only own the field until Yovel, or till whenever. You don't have the ability to irrevocably change that status. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, where would I need this svara? Precisely in Tosfos' case. Somebody goes, he sells his field to Shimon. Reuven sells his field to Shimon. Shimon goes, he gives it to Hekdesh. Nobody redeems it back. Over there, the Torah didn't even talk about it. Over there, logic tells us that the owner doesn't lose his rights. The owner comes to Hekdesh and he says, Rabbeisai, even though nobody redeemed this field, so this doesn't fit into the Pesukim in Vayikra, okay, because the Pesukim in Vayikra are talking about a case where somebody redeemed the field. Doesn't matter. I'm here anyway. I'm coming back. That's why the Mishnah had to tell me the Svara. The Mishnah is telling me that irrelevant of the Pesuk. So what's the Pesuk really teaching me? The Pesuk is teaching me something else. The Pesuk's chiddush is that the owner doesn't have to redeem it. The chiddush that the owner gets it back, that's not a chiddush. Because there's no way that the person I sold the field to can take away my ownership. That's not a chiddush. There's no way that person can make it not a steyachuzim. That's not a chiddush. That's the Mishnah says it's a svara. But the Pesuk tells you something else. The Pesuk says, but the owner doesn't have to redeem it. That's a separate chiddush. If I lend you a bottle of wine, okay, and I say you can have one cup, so obviously you have no rights to the rest of the bottle. So you go and take one cup. But then you put the bottle of wine out on the table, and your shiksa goes and spills the wine, makes it into Yayin Esach. Yeah. And then you give me back the bottle, right? So now, is the wine also out Yayin Esach? Yeah. What do you mean? Who are you to ask for my wine? But that's what happened. If I give you a behemoth, and I say you can take half of the behemoth, the other half is mine, and you take the whole behemoth and cook it in a pot of milk, okay? I come back to you and you give me the piece, you give me the meat, and you tell me, listen, I'm sorry, I have to break it to you, it's basar b'cholov. And I say, well, I'm sorry, it's not basar b'cholov, you had no right to make it basar b'cholov. So you tell me, okay, I had no right to make it basar b'cholov, but it is basar b'cholov. It became basar b'cholov. It is basar b'cholov, right? Now, I give you a behemah, and instead of shechting it, you shoot it. So it's an avela. Even though it's not your animal to shoot, but you did. The end of the day, when I gave my field, when I sold my stay mikna to somebody, and he went and gave it to Hekdesh, there are two issues we have to deal with. One, do I lose my ownership from this field? And the answer is no. That's the Mishnah. Ein adam makdish dovo sheni shaloi. You, the guy who bought it from me until Yovel, or till 50 years or 60 years, you can't change this, my ownership on the field. That's number one. Number two, we have to deal with the Kedusha. When you went and made the field Kodesh, you changed the status of the field. The field has Kedusha. That Kedusha has to be removed before you use the field. Okay? That's the second issue. That issue, the Torah tells us, it goes out by Yovel to the Bialim, you don't need redemption. It goes to the Bialim. Comes Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't agree with Chiddush number one. Tosfos agrees with Chiddush number one. He just says that if the Bialim come back by Yovel and nobody redeemed the field back, Tosfos doesn't argue that the Bialim still get the field back. That's what I want to tell you. Tosfos is only saying the Bialim have to redeem it. Because the field is Kodesh. Look at now. You look at Tosfos Lashon, you'll see. Shein of the Magdish Dover Shein Shloi Lufum Riata Mashma Im Gal Acha Meagiz Bo Lufnei Yovel. V'Rashi Pirush Tafilu Loi Gal Acha Elo Shadayinu Begiara Gizbo. Look at Tosfos Lashon. Teitzei Bechina BeYovel Abaylim Orishoyin. I feel that this Tosfos is misunderstood. Most learned is Tosfos. Tosfos holds now, I lost my field. No, I didn't lose my field. But I have to redeem it. I can't not redeem it. It'll go out to me by Yoivel. I have a right to the field. But it won't come back to me for free. I have to redeem the field. Because what happened to the Kedusha? So if somebody else went before Yoivel and redeemed it from Hektish and removed the Kedusha from the field, then when I come, then when it goes out, Yoivel, it comes to me for free. It says, Tosfos. But if it stayed by the hands of the gizmo, then the owner still is in the picture. But he has to pay. He has to redeem it as a stechus. Exactly. But now we understand why the Mishnah needed the Svara. Because without the Svara in this case, the Bailam won't even be able to redeem it back. Because the Psukim are not talking about this scenario. Comes the Mishnah and says, listen, the Svara tells us that the Bailam remained the Bailam. The only thing is that the Pasuk tells us also that the Bailam don't have to pay to take off the Kedusha. That you don't have, Zok Tosfos. Rashi argues, Rashi holds the Kedusha goes off. But we understand now what the Pshat is. That's the reason why the Mishnah needed the Svara. Because without the Svara, we would say that when you go and makdash it and nobody redeemed it back, stay by Hektish. The Torah wasn't talking about that case. That's why we need the Svara. The Svara tells us, no matter what, the field is going to go back to the owner. The Pasuk tells us that that happens for free. And Tosfos says, well, the Pasuk is only talking about if nobody else redeemed it. But if somebody else did redeem it, then the Pasuk is not talking about that. That's not what the Pasuk is talking about. So now, at least that part of the sugya is clear. Now, as far as understanding the latter part, we only have two more minutes, but I'll try to make it clear. As far as understanding the latter part of the sugya, which is we were trying to understand this whole Kinyan HaPeres KeKinyan HaGuf, I want to add one little knach, and I think with this we'll understand it much better. We had our Shaila already several weeks ago. When you sell something until Yovel, what happens? Is it that you're selling it until Yovel? Or is it that you're really selling it indefinitely? And Yovel comes, and Yovel takes it away. So I'll give you a mashal. The halacha is, that if somebody goes ahead, and he gives somebody an eslig for an hour, okay? It's the first day of Sukkot. And you come over to me, you say, you need an eslik. I say, okay, here's my eslik, you can use it for an hour. In fact, I know it has to be yours. I'm giving it to you for an hour. It's your, for the next hour, it's your eslik. The Ketzoy says, you're not yoitzer with that eslik. Because that's called a kinyan lizman. It's not a real kinyan. It's like a kinyan ishtamshus. You don't own inherently the eslik itself. It doesn't work. Matona al menas lahachzer works. That's clear. Gemara says clearly in Kedushin. And in other sugyas, that matona al menas lahachzer works. What's the difference between matona al menas lahachzer and a kinyan lizman? Let's analyze it. It's l'chayre the same thing. What's the difference if I give you an esrig? In fact, matona al menas lahachzer could be even less. I could say, listen, I'm giving you the esrig until after halal. After halal, you have to give me back the esrig. If you don't give me back the esrog after halal, it's not yours. You could use the esrog and be yoitzer the mitzvah. Right? But if I give you the esrog for an hour, you're not yoitzer. What's the difference? I mean, there are those who hold you up, but the Ketzoy says you're not yoitzer. Why are you not yoitzer? In both cases, you can only use the esrog now for half hour, for an hour, but by matona amas lahachzer, you're yoitzer the esrog. And if I give you the esrog for an hour and I say it's yours for an hour, it can't be yoitzer. You know why? Because when I give you the esrog for an hour, the limitation of your ownership is inherent in the transaction. That means you only acquired it for an hour. That's not called an ownership, according to many. You don't own it. Right? When I give you a matona mas lahachzer, so really in the ownership itself, there's no limitation. You own it forever. But there's a tenai, there's a condition that has to be met. Just like I can make a condition, you have to go to the moon. I can make a condition, I need you to take care of something. I could give you the esrog and say, on the condition that you give my mother a ride home. Now, if you don't give my mother a ride home, it's not your esrog. So now I'm making a condition. You have to give me the esrog back. That's a condition. And once the condition is met, so now it's yours. Comes out that I really gave it to you forever. It's just a condition. So the limit, even though the end result is the same, practically speaking, the esrog will be out of your domain in an hour or else. But in one case, your inherent ownership is limited. In the other case, your inherent ownership is not limited. It's just an outside abstract. Now when we come to Yovel, we have the same chakira. By Yovel, we have the same chakira. Huh? No, no, no. The end will be then that he said you have to give it back to me on Tuesday. If you didn't give it back to him on Tuesday, Lamafreya, the kinyan was bottled. I'm talking about Matamas Lachza. Matamas Lachza means, let's say I give you an esrog, I say, listen, this esrog is yours on the condition that whatever you do for me, you clean the shul. And then you don't, what happens then? Lamafreya, the esrog is not yours. So here, if you don't give me the esrog back, Lamafreya, it's not yours. But not because your inherent ownership was limited, but because there's an abstract reason that breaks the kinyan. Now, Yovel, we have the same shaila. How does Yovel work? Does Yovel retroactively uproot the kinyan? In other words, does Yovel come later as an after, like almost like an after, like a matamas lahachzer, and break it? Or is there an inherent limitation? Whenever I sell my field, I'm selling it for 49 years. It's a 49-year sale. Obviously, one of the nafkaminas would be all these things where it has to be yours. So that you could say very simple. If you hold that Yovel is a built-in limitation, right? That you can only sell something for 49 years. That's the most you could sell a field, right? So then it comes out that your ownership until Yovel is really not a real ownership, right? It's a kinyan lizman. But if you hold that Yovel comes and Yovel is mafkia the ownership, then you could say, possibly, during the 49 years that I owned the field, I really owned the goof during those 49 years. Normally, a king in Paris, I don't own the goof, because the goof I don't own at all. I only own the Paris. The goof I don't own. The question is, do we look at the king in Paris like it's a real ownership? By Yovel, it's different, because by Yovel, once we could get past the king in Paris, once we could say that the king in Paris is a good king in, now, Lagabi the goof, we say, well, the goof is really yours. Something else on the abstract is going to break it. That's the answer to Rebbe Yashiv's question. That's why Rebbe Yashiv is asking, what do you mean? But there's other ownerships that you have, consequential ownerships that you have, a king and a goof. That's true by your regular king in Paris. By your regular king in Paris, even if you hold it's a king and a goof, it's still not Lagabi the goof. I don't have the goof. But here, Lagabi the goof, I have the goof forever. Yovel comes and knocks me out. It's the opposite. We're only analyzing the Paris. Because the Paris is I'm limiting. I'm telling you, you only have the Paris. I'm selling you the Ishbamshas for 49 years. So now, but what about the goof? The goof is going to go along with whatever the Paris are, because the goof is connected to Yovel. And if we look at Yovel as a time limitation, then it's limited. If we look at Yovel as Yovel comes on the abstract and breaks it, it's everlasting. And that would explain this distinction in the sugya. Obviously, this will tie into the Rambam and tie into everything else, because if the Rambam holds that Yovel comes and uproots the kinyan, then the Rambam may hold that the kinyan Peres, the kinyan Guf is not pivotal to our sugya. But that's really not for now, Mitzvah Shem, but just I'm giving you the concept that we could say that the kinyan Peres, the kinyan Guf of Yovel is much better, far more superior. This being the case, it would also explain to us why the Rambam, it's another Peletic Rambam that is left unanswered by many. The Rambam, the Gemara says in Gittin, that if you hold Kinyan Peres is not Kinyan Aguf, then two brothers would never be able to bring Bikurim. Because if you hold that the two brothers every year will have to switch back, right? Because they don't know if each brother may be on the other brother's piece, so they could never bring Bikurim. That's what Gemara says in Gittin. The Rambam paskins that kinyan peres is not kinyan aguf. And he paskins that you have to give back the field every yovel. And he still holds that you bring bikur. And they all ask kind of Rambam what's going on. But we could say that the pshat is very simple. The Gemara in Gittin is only going if you hold that yovel is a limitation. But the Rambam holds that yovel breaks it. If yovel breaks it, so then it comes out until yovel you have an inherent ownership. And that's why he holds you could talk about bikur. Okay.